Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How many of you know who Bernie Glassman is? Oh, that's good. How many have ever met him? This is going to sort of be on the fly. We did come up with a program, but it's never been rehearsed or anything like that, so there's probably going to be mistakes. But the heart of this is your intention, not how correctly we do it. Doing it from the heart is more important than if we get confused. So how many of you have ever seen Bernie Glassman, a picture of him? Okay, so I won't pass it around. But this is a picture that I have of Bernie. And he has a red clown nose on. He's smoking a cigar, and he's not wearing robes. So he went from being a conventional Zen teacher, from a sensei and then a roshi, and with the shaved head and the robes and the whole thing. And then I'm going to read a bio of him. And then somewhere along the way, this is what happened. Right now, while I'm here, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to just a very brief explanation of the meaning of the use of incense at a memorial service. And then there was a biography in Lion's Roar of Bernie. And it's about 5 minutes, but I'm going to read it. Because I think it gives a clear picture of just who he was and his transformation through his life. As you can tell by a Zen teacher who's not wearing robes, who has a cigar that he's smoking and a red nose. You know, I tried to get one red nose with which I would sit here with the red nose, but I couldn't find one. So he's a prankster. So I want you to imagine that there's a great big red nose here. It's probably not that hard to imagine. All right, so this is an explanation of how incense is used, or you know, the intention of it at a memorial service. When we do the chants, that expounds the teaching of the Buddha. And the scent of the incense is intended to purify all of us who are here for this service, all of the participants. The smoke that rises from the incense is said to deliver our thoughts and prayers to the deceased. And then finally, this service, a memorial service, is the opportunity to come into contact with the heart of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So again, do this from the heart. You can imagine that if, you know, that Bernie is here with us in some way. So we're saying goodbye. One other thing, Bernie was my first teacher, which I'll talk about when we do practice circle later. And not so much interpersonally, but in terms of the Dharma and his teaching, I feel very close to him. As many of you know, when I give talks, I must always make a reference to some aspect of his teaching. So this is emotional for me. So if I get emotional, which I sort of am now, don't let that disturb your process through this. So, now this is again from Lion's Roar. It just seemed to me better to just read it than to have it come directly from me. It covers a lot of bases. So here's Bernie, his story. The bio starts out with a Bernie Glassman, pioneer of American Zen, dies at 79. So it says, the influential Zen teacher Bernie Glassman died this morning in Massachusetts. He was 79 years old. Glassman was a vibrant character, to say the least, who had a significant influence on the American Dharma. Along with being a Zen master, he was also an aeronautical engineer, a social entrepreneur, an interfaith activist, and a clown. So he was born on January 18th in 1939. To a family of socialist, Jewish, Eastern European immigrants in Brooklyn, New York. He first encountered this practice, Zen practice, when he read Houston Smith's Religions of Man in an English class. In the 60s, he began meditating and soon went searching for a Zen teacher. And he found Taizen Maizumi Roshi in California, who was at a small temple in L.A., Now, Maizumi, who was Bernie's teacher and ultimately gave him Dharma transmission, made him a teacher, would go on to become one of the most influential Zen teachers in America. At the time that Bernie met him, he was a young monk at the temple that I mentioned, and Glassman was immediately drawn to him. There was an instant connection, and they became very close. Within a few years, Glassman was serving as Maizumi's right-hand man and studying as a formal student. In 1970, Bernie became a novice priest and received the Dharma name Tetsugen, which means to penetrate mysteries. And when Maizumi founded the Zen Center of Los Angeles in 1967, Glassman was one of the founding members, and he would later serve as the center's chief administrator and then executive director. And throughout his studies, if you can imagine this, Glassman also worked as an aeronautical engineer at McDonnell Douglas, developing space travel programs. It's an interesting combination. So Glassman always had an interest in social causes. And one time when driving home from work, he had a vision of hungry ghosts, beings who represent unfulfilled desire. And at that moment, he realized that there was no separation between himself and the hungry ghosts, these beings. And out of this experience, he made the decision that his life's mission would be to help those in need. So in 1982, Glassman has now left Los Angeles, he opened Greyston Bakery in Yonkers, New York. And Greyston employs people who conventional businesses would deem unemployable. It now, today, has more than 75 employees and produces brownies for Ben & Jerry's ice cream, not exclusively. In fact, about a month ago, I was waiting in line at Whole Foods, and right there in a little section were Greyston brownies. So this started in 1982, and it's still operating. So Greyston was the first piece of the Greyston Foundation, which eventually grew to include the Greyston Family Inn, a housing provider for families in need, the Maitrey Center, a medical center serving those with AIDS-related illness, and the Maitrey House, which provides housing for Maitrey's patients. In May of 1995, Maizumi died suddenly by drowning at the age of 64. His final Dharma teaching was a letter that he wrote, bestowing final approval on Glassman, establishing him as a Roshi. And the letter concluded with the lines, "Life after life, birth after birth, never falter. Do not let die the wisdom seed of the Buddhas and the ancestors. Truly, I implore you." In the second half of the 1990s, Glassman shifted his focus to establishing the Zen Peacemaker Order, an interfaith organization dedicated to the cause of peace and social justice, with his wife, Sandra Jishu Holmes. And in 1998, Glassman and Holmes moved to Santa Fe to focus on the creation of the Peacemaker Order. But 12 days after they got there, Sandra died from a heart attack, and a tragedy that Glassman wrote about in Lion's Roar. Now, that article is very, very well written and touching. So I don't know if you can always come up and ask me, but the title of it was, "There Are No Words." There are no words. So Glassman continued the work that he and his wife had started. The Zen Peacemaker Order, now known as Zen Peacemakers, became famous for its Bearing Witness retreats and street retreats. On the Bearing Witness retreats, participants meditate at sites where atrocities have taken place, such as Auschwitz-Birkenau and Rwanda. And on the street retreats, participants take to the streets for multiple days to live as homeless people and practice Zazen meditation on the sidewalks and in the parks. And Zen Peacemakers, as most of you know, was founded on the three core tenets: not knowing, bearing witness, and loving action. And bearing witness means to come to a person or a situation and without any preconceptions, with basically a still mind, listen to what is before us. So we don't go in with the idea of helping. We go in with the idea of being present, and that's where the not knowing and the bearing witness come together. And out of that bearing witness, whatever needs to be done arises, and that's usually compassionate action in some form. So around the same time, Glassman also started training as a clown with professional clown Moshe Cohen, a.k.a. Mr. Yoo-Hoo. And Cohen has written that Glassman's intent was not really to become a clown, but rather he wished to use the tools of tricksterdom and humor to address out-of-balance situations in his Zen world. And I wish we had a big audio-visual thing, because there's an interview with Bernie, and it's outside, he's sitting on the street, and he's being interviewed, and he's the only person in the interview. You don't see the interviewer. And he's sitting there with a red beret on, puffing away on a cigar. And the interview was great, because they asked him all these wonderful questions, and he had Bernie answers to them all. And it occurred to me, this is on YouTube, by the way, it would occur to me, if we could put this up as a place to start, you know, it'd be a wonderful way to introduce him. So the idea of the red nose is, so we're all in a board meeting, and it's really getting contested and hot under the collar, and there's a lot of this going on, separation is taking place. He would take out his red nose and just sit there with a red nose on. And it does shift the dynamic, you know. It's it's hard to ignore a guy with a red nose on in a meeting. So that's what's meant by tricksterdom and humor. He also, throughout the world, when they would go to these remote places, and there would, of course, be children, he would chase and run around with the children with a red nose on. So he developed a friendship with Oscar-winning actor Jeff Bridges. And the two together wrote a book inspired by Bridges' leading role in The Big Lebowski. And the book was called The Dude and the Zen Master, about lessons in classic comedy. And Glassman empowered many students, including notable Zen teachers such as Joan Halifax, Peter Matheson, Fleet Mall, Wendy Nakao, and Pat Enkyo O'Hara. And, you know, each one of them in some form or another went on to start their own communities. And then on January of 2016, Bernie had a stroke, from which he at least partially recovered. And he spoke to Lion's Roar about the Zen lessons that he learned from his recovery. And so it goes on to say that he is survived by his spouse, Eve Marco, and two children, Alyssa and Mark, and four grandchildren. Oh, so I mentioned that the essay about losing his wife is, there are no words.